May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing, thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119, and we will commence to read at verse 129. Psalm 119, and commencing at the 129th verse. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them for ever. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we seek to draw near unto thee because thou art a merciful and gracious God. Lord, without thy sweet mercy, we could not dwell here. Sin soon should reduce us to utter despair. But in thy sweet mercy, thou hast raised some to our precious hope in that saving grace that is able to save the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need. And so such are welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. So we venture to come and to spread our case before thee, and to confess before thee our many sins. O Lord, who can know the sins of his own heart? For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But thy dear people are taught their sinnership, and to know that they are foul and wretched through and through. There is no soundness to be found in them, but that which is of thee, that work of thy grace, that new man which thou dost create and give unto those brought to fear thy name, because thou hast given that gift of precious faith to believe that thou art able to help a helpless one, to bring one up from the miry clay, to set our feet upon that rock, to deliver us from the pit into which we would fall, but for thy merciful, preserving grace. Thine is a mighty hand, an arm that can be put forth to hold us when we're ready to fall. But Lord, we believe that thou hast helped us hitherto, and therefore may we raise that Ebenezer stone. He that hath helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through, and give us daily cause to raise fresh Ebenezers to thy praise. Lord, thou art worthy to be praised. Help us to do it. Lord, we would honour thee by those infant lips that would praise thee. For out of such thou hast ordained praise. And when we speak of infant lips, Lord, yes, there may be those that are young in years, and yet they know something of that work of grace. And a child may even die as one that is 100 years old and be well versed in the glorious truth, and to know the preciousness of thy word and the blessings that come from it. But Lord, some may be in their old age and yet are as babes in Christ, being born again, but in those years of decline. And yet, Lord, that they may be able to praise thee, that thou hast looked upon them when they have perhaps spent a life, whether as a Pharisee or whether as one profane. O Lord, the apostle, he thought he served God for those years, until thou didst meet with him and cause him to know that he persecuted the very God, the very Christ, that alone could save. O Lord, we pray that our hard hearts and our complacent souls may be quickened, may be stirred up, that we might not leave those matters as though our salvation is just something which will come if it is meant to come. But may we be exercised under those things, and cry day and night, save me, oh save me, else I shall be as one that goes down to the pit. Lord, we pray that there in thy infinite mercy, may therefore hear our cry and come where we are. Lord, thou knowest each case, and thou art able to perform a work impossible with men, but not with God. We therefore pray that we may seek to commit ourselves into thy gracious hands, knowing that thou canst work all things. And if, Lord, there shall be losses and crosses having to be borne, and troubles to be passed through, and sufferings to be endured, and difficulties to be overcome, yet to prove that it is in these things that men live, and in all these things is the life of one spirit. Otherwise, Lord, we are dead, dead in trespasses and in sin. And those things would rather cause a bitterness and an anger rather than, under the sanctifying influence of the Spirit, a humility and a resignation to all that thou dost permit, and to say, thy will be done. Thy dear blessed Son, when here upon earth, submitted himself even to that which thou, the Father, didst require of him to do, and in sufferings was made perfect in that he and the children should be one, in that perfect union, when sin had separated, but now an acceptable offering, the shedding of that precious blood, the bestowing of that blessed Spirit that should work in us that work of grace, of salvation, that we may then know that union, a union which cannot be broken with us and our Saviour, with me and my Saviour. Oh, that we may be able to say it, and therefore, Lord, be able to come and to call thee Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Lord, many may not know, but thou knowest. Oh, if it is therefore thy great mercy to give us to know that thou dost think upon us, O Lord, it was the psalmist's consolation, that the Lord thinketh upon me. Now, Lord, we pray that thou would grant thy gracious help as we are gathered together, to grant a hearing ear in the pew and power in the pulpit. Lord, it's not in man. We are an earthen vessel. But we read that the excellency of the power being of God is because thou hast put that treasure, that life, that a gift, as it may be, into the one that thou hast sent. Oh, may it, Lord, be that we are sent. Solemn if we should run and not be sent. Lord, we pray that thou wilt therefore grant us those evidences that we are among those that are sent of God who minister in the pulpit. And all thy servants, Lord, we commend unto thee. We do pray that thou wilt bless the word and help them, Lord, to continue, even though they may feel that much is against them. Lord, they have a deceitful heart, as the people have. They often have to prove that they cannot keep themselves. They have a tempter, a fierce tempter, who would worry them with a malicious joy. And if he can bring, Satan can bring one to be ready to give up, then he may think he has achieved his purpose. But Lord, thou hast often encouraged thy servants at such a time when they feel they have come to the end. But Lord, thou art ever the same. So it is that thou dost enable us still to go on. Then, O Lord, we pray that thou would look upon those that are in much affliction, grant thy healing to them, raising them up if it could please thee. But some, Lord, have been faced with a solemnity of death, and therefore its consequences with regard to the body. The Lord, we are thankful where there's been a testimony, and where there has been a comfort realized. We would remember the bereaved, particularly our dear friend, the deacon here, one of the deacons here, though not with us, but we trust that taking rest and change and be able perhaps to commit unto thee all the matters that he has passed through, and to feel and to see thy goodness and thy mercies in it, though doubtless feeling still the loss. O Lord, thou who hast made two to be one flesh, when one is taken and the other left, it is indeed as a tearing one from the other. And yet, O Lord, we know that thou dost sanctify these things with a realization that it is better with thee departed. So may our dear friend feel it, and therefore be able to continue, despite all the reminders, and yet he also has the memories, those pleasant memories. Oh, do sustain him. We, Lord, would remember then those that are, as it were, at the other end of life. There are the babes, and we pray that as they grow up, that they may be kept and preserved as they grow up into this godless world. Oh, that there may be some good thing found in their heart towards the Lord God. And Lord, the young that are attending this evening, we would bear them before thee, and pray that they may have an exercise with regard to the things of eternity, and be brought to desire that they may not be left to perish. Then, Lord, we would remember those that are expecting, and one near to the time of delivery, who is with us, we will commend her to thee, and her husband also, and desire that both mother and child may be spared, for it is a time of joy, and yet a time which is wherein many dangers and difficulties can be faced, and pain and sorrow, but may they know that when the child is born, there is much rejoicing. Lord, we also would bear before thee another that has now know that she, in thy good purpose of thy goodness and grace, may in due time bring forth a child. O Lord, we would therefore bear her and her husband and family also to thee. And then, O Lord, we would bear before thee others that may be passing through strange paths, difficulties that perhaps are only known to thee and themselves. But Lord, do sustain and uphold them. We pray that there would be with all thy people. We do remember those that may suffer much at the hands of others, no persecutions. It may be from the family, it may be from neighbours, it may be in business, it may be from the powers that be, as we know in other parts of the earth, that there is that persecution of those that profess thy name. And as our forefathers knew that persecution, oh, how they were sustained. Lord, we know not what may be before us, though the persecution may be in very different ways, yet we know that the clouds are gathered and Antichrist is very active, and those that would oppose and try to weaken the very profession of those that fear thy name. And yet, O Lord, we believe that thou must keep and will keep thine own people and preserve them from all such evils that abound. Oh, help us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, Lord, we would not multiply words further, except we would commend our sinful land, our leaders, that they may be given wisdom, though they often seem bereft of it. But Lord, it is to know that there is one who omnipotently reigns and has the hearts of men in his hands. Therefore, we apply unto thee to work thy work. And also we bear before thee our queen in her frailty. Do still sustain her and help her, we pray, in the duties that she may seek to attend to. And now do pardon us of every sin. All that we've uttered amiss, forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 775. My God, when I reflect how all my lifetime passed, I ran the roads of sin and death with rash, impetuous haste. My foolishness I hate, my filthiness I loathe, and view with sharp remorse and shame my filth and folly both. Hymn 775.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to Psalm 119 and read in verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Psalm 119 and the 140th verse. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Those who have been quickened by the word, by the Spirit of God, made alive unto God, will therefore receive his word. The carnal mind does not receive the things of God. And we may have known in our days of unregeneracy, when the word of God was hated rather than loved, we may have held to the form of it. We may perhaps have liked some of the phraseology of our authorised version. We may perhaps have liked some of the accounts or stories, and perhaps our old nature looked upon them as nothing other than that. And yet there was enmity against the word that searched us, the word that found us out, discovered exactly what we were. And yet we will not face up to it because of our deceitful and wicked heart, because of the evils that were therein, and we wished to hide them. And so it was true what is written in that Gospel of John, that when the light came, men rather liked to love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And we still find that we have an evil and deceitful heart. We should rather believe a lie than believe the truth. But the truth is that which is of God, because he is the truth. The word is a living word. Men's words are corrupt. Even the best of us may not speak wholly of the truth, may not speak of truth in its purity, but we find that here the word that God speaks is pure. It is very pure. It is pure because God is holy. God himself is altogether pure. There is no fault to be found in him. Who will admire the perfectness of our God? Will you admire the perfectness of his way? Will you consider when he plants his footsteps in the sea and brings that deliverance from the tossings that may have gone on in your soul when you've been tossed about, or perhaps in your providences when you have had to ride, as it were, a stormy sea and you have not known how to continue, and you fear lest you should be brought to an untimely end. Such was the troubles that you passed through. You felt that you could only look for hell, and there was no prospect of heaven until the Lord graciously revealed to you the truth. What truth? That truth that concerns the word of God. the word that speaks of our certainty, the certainty of salvation, which begins in heaven. And therefore, the word that we may have come to love becomes very pure in our eyes, very pure to our hearts. It is a word that gives us comfort and consolation. That word that we speak of is the word which sets before us of being in Christ, being in Christ before time began, chosen in him. Ah, what a sacred choice. But that word is very pure, that declares election. But how many have risen up against the very doctrine? Or how it's been hated? The truth concerning the predestinating purposes of God, that those things that concern his own must all be worked out, and they shall be worked out for good. How thankful we have been when, under the sweet influence of the Spirit's teaching, that he maketh all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Then this word is very pure, and oh, how much we may love it then. But we walk perhaps many years in the ways where we may like a form of godliness, but we deny the power of it. But if we are to know that the word is very pure, it must be a word of power to us. This was something that the psalmist put his whole confidence in when he felt that his soul clung to the dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. And what shall a soul say that finds itself cleaving to the dust, cannot rise above it, like a worm that crawls in and out, but has no power to take wings, to deliver itself from its state, from its situation? But there it is, a creature of the dust. And yet the Lord may look upon his worm, as he did with Jacob. He called him Worm Jacob, but he was to make Jacob strong. He was to enable him to beat the mountains, to thresh the mountains and make them small. And then the word was very pure in the eyes of Jacob, and he approved it in the course of his life. When he left his father and mother, and remember the sin that he had been guilty of. He had stolen the birthright from his brother, and also the blessing. He had deceived his father, and he had gone now on his way. But here was, in the mystery of God's purposes, a chosen vessel. Here was one who, coming to a place which was very dry and stony, no life there, wickedness abounding, and also in the heart of Jacob, And he laid himself down, taking a stone for a pillow. Could he have imagined when he laid himself down that he'd be raising that stone for a pillar and anointing it? Ah, the difference that was made in the night. To be able to know the word that was very pure to him being spoken. And that word that was to be proved. And the pure word may be proved. And Jacob proved it. He proved it in this way. I will be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest. I will bring thee again unto this place. And it was upon that that Jacob would know that this God that had revealed himself in that a form of a ladder that stretched from heaven down to earth, God sat at the top of it. Jacob was at the bottom of it. The angels ascending and descending upon it. And what was the ladder but the blessed mediator? And as the Lord spoke to Nathanael, when he declared him to be an Israelite indeed, he said, thou shalt see greater things than these, for thou shalt see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Ah, the glorious doctrine, the precious truth that concerns the God-man mediator. Truly, gloriously God, and yet made to be a man, to take flesh and to dwell amongst us, to condescend to us in our lowest state, to enter into those sufferings which would far exceed any of our sufferings, any of our trials and troubles, that any darkness that we may know his darkness. When he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What his soul, his human soul endured, none can tell, but it was that he may suffer those things, that the word may be to us very pure. For here was the word made flesh. Yes, made flesh. Well, he then is seen as the one who could offer himself a perfect offering to then present us unto God. Those for whom he died, those for whom he shed his blood, those that he had truly redeemed, those that he might now plead for. Oh, his blessed intercessions, as he presents our petitions. It matters not how poor those petitions are. If they have come from the very soul, if they have come through or out of the distress of mind and spirit, because there you are, in this condition and state where you need some consolation or assurance that you will not be as those that go down into the pit. Oh, you need therefore that assurance, as the hymn writer desired, assure my conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. Well, here then is the word declared in those in those works, the work which his father had given him to do, that he should fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness will never be done except by the one that God sends, my messenger, my servant. And then those that are formed through or in him, perhaps I should say, from all eternity, there to be written in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life, precious book, there is the pure word. You see, if your name is there, if my name is there, it's there forever. It's there for certainty. It's there, dear friends, and none can take it out. There it is, a sinner saved by grace. Yes, because the record is the Lamb's Book of Life, those for whom he died. And what a declaration that he may make unto his Father when this poor sinner, whoever he or she may be, is there at the footstool pleading mercy, that our mediator should say, I have prayed for this one. Should say, this one is a redeemed soul, because I shed my blood. He has the tokens, and they cannot be rejected, because the Father who gave his Son in love, and the Son who came to fulfill that work that his Father had given him to do, in love, unto a people that he had loved with an everlasting love, and therefore he should draw them. What was the means of drawing? And I, if I be lifted up upon that cross, lifted up to be seen as the one who has borne our sin, and made satisfaction with holy justice, so that now, as we plead his merits, for we see him as the sinless one, the one who knew no sin, the one who is able to present us all righteous in himself. And so, how love I, yes, how love I this word of truth, this pure word. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do you find your heart warming as you have presented to you the pureness of this word, and to know that because he is pure, so when he spoke those words, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It was no trifling word. It was a word that was spoken unto those that had an ear to hear, and those who loved the word of truth, and those who may be bound up in it. That is what will make us love it. because we're bound up in it. You might say, can that be? Can it be that my name is bound up, that I am bound up in the very word of God? Read your character in the scriptures. You might find that Jacob, he was a character. And you find that, yes, you could walk with Jacob, because what delineates his character also is with you. He had his trials, didn't he? He had his troubles. He had his besetments. But he also had his deliverances. He knew the God who would watch over him, bring him through the through darkest paths into wealthy places, bring him through the greatest troubles to know the greatest joys. Well, there you may find that your spiritual life is defined in the very life of another. You may perhaps find that one walked in a particular path, and you can see that there are the marks. If they had grace, then you can hope you have it. You may then turn to another, and you can see the sin of those characters, and they obtain mercy. Therefore you can say, well, if they were such sinners as I am, and they obtain mercy, then there's hope for me. So you may find that the characteristics which bear the marks of a child of God are found with you as well as it was with them. This is the preciousness of the word of God. Read the psalmist's testimony. Not all of them were David's. Some of the psalms were written by others, it would seem. But they unite, don't they? Oh, they unite in the precious, hymn book of the scripture. Yes, there you will find that oftentimes you may turn to the Psalms, not only, of course, the Psalms, but turn to the Psalms you may, and there in the reading of the Word of God, that becomes to you a pure word. It may only perhaps be a word or a verse in the psalm that you're reading, but there you can say, ah, I've pleaded that, I've walked that path, I've been in that situation, I've cried unto God when all things have seemed to be against me, and I have feared that I am lost. Then to you the word is very pure. It's a pure word. Now it's a pure word because it's a word to be believed. It's a word to be believed. You know, can you believe anything that man says? You may say, in the arrogance of your own heart, well, I always speak the truth. Let the living word search you out. And though perhaps what you said may not be wholly wrong, yet, is it the whole truth? Is it the whole truth? you will find that the words that come forth from the lips of men, there is a degree of deceitfulness to be found in them. Let us try it. It may be painful. But do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Some will be very ready to say, oh yes. But does it search your heart? Can you say out of all honesty you love him as you would? I trust that that is the expression you might use. Oh, I cannot love him as I would, but I would love him. Oh, for love. Oh, for grace, rather, to love him more. That is the desire of your soul. And therefore, you know that the word that he speaks is pure. And you need him to speak. Speak these words. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I remember, and I do not often speak of my own experience, but I can remember, I think I shall never forget it. A little house, or I say a little, it wasn't so little, but there was the room where I was staying at the time, having preached the word, or was to preach the word, I think. No, I'd preached the word that day, and lay my head down upon the bed. When I awoke in the morning, those words came with such power to me. The words of the hymn, if you will pardon me, while I just find it so I read it correctly. The words were, loved of my God, for him again with love intense I burn. Chosen of thee ere time began, I choose thee in return. And immediately the words came that were of our Lord. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I shall never forget it. It seemed as though the room was filled. Oh, if only I could enter into it now. But we feel we become cold, faint, indifferent. But the Lord, he has brought that celestial mark which can never be erased. Oh, what a mercy that it is God's work, not yours, not mine. God's work. That work which is declared in the Word, through the Word, by the Word. And it is the Word of life. Thy Word is very pure. You can then say, therefore, thy servant loveth it. Well, if once the dear Lord has shone into your heart with such an evidence that has brought you to know the purity of that word, then you will love it. And love the speaker also. You cannot love the word of someone and not love the very person themselves. When one may come into friendship with another, as it has been perhaps with some of you, many of you, some of you may
yet have that blessing to know. And you find that the time comes when you are joined together in marriage. And if it has been a union in the Lord, then you will know something of that which is written in the Epistle to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter, where it speaks of how we ought to live one with another, and how that also it sets before us Christ and his church. He who gave himself for his church. And yes, we being redeemed may then ever give him thanks. You know, it's a great mercy to feel that we are his and he is ours. But now, listen to these words. The spouse in the Song of Solomon, did she not need that assurance that she was loved? Oh, she said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for they are most sweet. But she needed those kisses to be realized again. But was it not found in those pure words which only the beloved could speak? Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Well, how pure those words are. Very pure. Yes, very pure. You may say, well, when something is pure, it is pure. There is no variation. That is true. Then why is the word very put here? For emphasis. For emphasis. You see, we do use it in that way, don't we, that word very. Something may be very good. My mind just goes, pardon me for flitting from one thing to another. But when God spoke, and the world was, and the worlds were formed, and all in them, light and the firmament and the seas and the earth and so on. God looked upon it and saw that it was good. And then we come to the conclusion, and he looked upon it and saw it was very good. Well, it was all by the word, wasn't it? God spake, and it was done. Therefore, what was done was very good. But it was brought into being by a very pure word. Yes, it was God's purpose. God's purpose. That is what made it very pure. Because the purposes of God must be worked out. There's not a purpose of God that will not be accomplished. And that we find men sometimes dislike. They want their way brought about, not God's. That's why men hate the ways of God. You hear them in bitterness, complaining because they are suffering some illness. Well, our old nature will complain, won't it? Perhaps you know that. But then in a moment of the Lord's appearing and confirming to you that this is for your good. It is for his honour and glory. It is that he may sanctify you and separate you unto himself. These pains that have come, it is that you might know the life in the sentence of death. It's God's strange work, isn't it? But here we prove that the pure word, and it's very pure, it's very pure. The margin reading you will find says this, tried or refined. The word itself needs no refining in one sense, but it certainly is tried or tested. And the word is proved by being put to the test in the lives and experiences of the Lord's people. They prove that that word, it is a tried word. It is a word which may be spoken against. A word that may bring many questions. And questions that rise up in your own deceitful heart. Why? Why is this? Well, the Lord will answer in due time. Why through darksome paths we go, we may know no reason, but we shall hereafter know, each in his due season. Then the tried word will be seen by you as a very pure word, because you have had to prove it in the depths, prove it in the heights, prove it when you have been brought to nothing, prove it when the Lord has abundantly favoured you in one way or another. You prove that word. It's therefore to you as a tried word. But the word, yes, it may try you as well, in the sense that all your ways are put into, as it were, the sieve. And the word, it tries you. It tests you. It's a word of rebuke. It's a word of correction. It's a word that will perhaps shake you to the very being. Thou art the man. That was the word that the prophet was sent to speak to David. But thy word is very pure. From it came a broken heart, a contrite spirit, true repentance, an acknowledgement that God was God and that there was none else, the one who could purge him with hyssop, that he should be whiter than snow. And it was against him only that he had sinned. David had sinned. No, he could not blame anybody else. Neither could he blame God. But there he was, a repentant soul pleading for that mercy. And that mercy which could not be taken away. For thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Well, that is how we come to love the word. And when the word is, as it were, burnt in to our hearts, then we love it. We love it because we can see the benefit of it. We can see what it's done. It's made us what we weren't. It's made us what we are. What a mercy it is that there's been that change. And it was the Word. The Word has sown into your heart. You may perhaps sometimes wondered whether the Word could ever abide in such a heart as yours. There comes the day when, yes, the evidences of the Word bursting forth, first the bud or the ear, then the full corn in the ear, or then the flower and the fruit. And you can see then that as sure as the seed is sown, so sure will be the fruit. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Yes, to love the word, to love the word that speaks your release. A prisoner of hope. A prisoner that will believe that deliverance is at hand. A prisoner that is brought to see that we are not only prisoners or have been prisoners to darkness, but now we are held by him and brought into the liberty of the gospel. Prisoners under the law, but now brought into the freedom of that word, which says, thy sins are forgiven thee. Go and sin no more. Then thy word becomes very pure and you love it. Well, the word of his mercy is certainly a word to be loved, but no more than the word of correction, the word of chastening. Kiss the rod. And kiss the son, lest he be angry with thee. But here we put a perfect trust in him who knows best in dealing with your soul and my soul. And if it should seem that his word is a harsh one, yet we will soon love him for it. And many a child, perhaps not today, when such punishment is scorned or rejected. But when the lash or the stick or the hand was laid upon us by way of reproof. Oh, we may have thanked them, perhaps not at the time, but afterwards. We knew that was a means of preserving us from going into worse things, when it was laid upon us in love. But every chastening of our God is in love, and he correcteth every son whom he receiveth, chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. The correcting rod, you know, you'll be thankful for it. And therefore that word of correction is a word that becomes pure in your eyes. You won't be able to speak against it. You will know that it was a right thing that God performed. It was a word, a chastening word that stopped you from pursuing a course that may have brought much, much trouble. But if he permitted you to go on for a while, and it wasn't that he would let you or leave you altogether, but teach you the pain, the sorrow that such a course would bring, and then he may have spoken the word of love. The word that may have brought some comfort to your soul. That word which then encouraged you to look alone to him and not to your own self. Well, there's much that could be said. But my time has gone. May the Lord, though, bring us each to the same confession that the psalmist makes here, because we have proved it. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation and the churches on Saturday at 2:30. Mr. Bernard Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening. Our closing hymn is number 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
Lord and dear Lord, anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss in us, help us to love that pure word of truth, and to keep us, Lord, from believing the lie which the devil, the father of lies, and men may seek to promote. But may we know, O Lord, the life and power of that word which brings us to know salvation. Now take us to our homes in peace and safety, and be with each as they go from day to day. So we ask it for Christ's sake. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.